for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Very much aware, and I shared it this morning, that in terms of evangelism, evangelism is about presence. It's about being in the place where God wants you to be. It's about process. It's about understanding the dynamics of space and time. And it's also about proclamation by not withholding the word of God from the ears of those who need to be awakened to righteousness and to the good news of Jesus. And so, you know, we're on a journey with a lot of people in Tala. Over the years, we've been in the unit. And I want to just share just about the word blessing, and really there's a kind of a thread running through what I've felt I needed to share with you over this weekend. Last night we were looking at harvest and the blessing of the earth, which is enshrined in the DNA or the configuration of the planet and set in place by God as a sequence and as a seasonal thing that the earth will produce, and there will be a blessing and a produce from the earth. And this morning we saw that Jesus Christ is the source of all blessing. He brings the blessing of God into the world. So there's the world that is demonstrating blessing in a physical and a fruitful sense. Jesus Christ brings the blessing of God. And tonight I want to talk about how we can get a personal blessing in our lives. But I want to use this word blessing because it's a biblical word, but it's also a word used by different churches as well. And when we were looking to move into this area of Tala, Brookfield, which is really, I'm not saying it's rough and dangerous, but even the dogs go around in gangs. They won't go around on their own, you know. They're really scared. And it's a rough area, but that is the place where surely the gospel can demonstrate the interface of God's divine power with the darkness that has engulfed our communities and our society in this present age. And when I was negotiating for the property, there were two ladies on the management board of Partas, the place where I was trying to get a unit and to get a conference room where we could push into the vision. We wanted to be at our ground zero. Okay, some people say, why don't you go to the more middle-class areas? You might get higher offerings. Why don't you go to a center where it's safer and there's not much criminality? You have to go to your ground zero. Our ground zero was Brookfield and that vacant site, and we wanted to open up meetings as close to that site as possible in obedience to God. So we, myself and my wife, Vicky, negotiated for securing a rental on one of the units. And the two ladies who were in the negotiations would not speak to me at all. So I was the negotiator, but they only spoke to Vicky. So when we came into a place, they would speak to Vicky, and Vicky would speak to me. And Vicky was getting very upset, and she was saying, say something. And I really felt this was, I don't know, do you know the way you feel? This something of God is in this, and I need to watch this space. And I felt, you know, I needed to really hold my heart and my peace. And I said to Vicky, look, I don't know what the journey these women have had where they have something against men and something against maybe me, but they don't know me. They don't know all my faults enough to hate me yet. All my faults that they're missing out on, where they could have justifiable angst or anger. But anyway, so we had these sequence of meetings where Vicky was doing the speaking. I occasionally would try to say something, but the referencing and the eyes were on Vicky right through the whole process. And so I was praying and I was thinking, Lord, rather than get angry, I really feel that there's a brokenness here in this room, and I don't want to add to it with my human reaction. I want to somehow draw out the toxicity and the poison that's in this space and somehow bring Christ into the space. It might be a silent Christ, but it's better than a loud, you know, antichrist. And so, you know, that's how I participated as softly, peacefully as I possibly could. And then they even gave the contract for Vicky McAvoy, even though it was John McAvoy of Elam, it was Vicky McAvoy. And so it was really peculiar, it was surreal. But anyway, hey, we went through with it. And then just when I was going out the door, my mother had died the year previously, and I made some reference, and one of the ladies said her mother had just died. And I can't even remember the conversation, but I do know that was an integral moment. And I looked at her, and I talked about the value of mothers and how much of a blessing they were. And she teared up, and evidently for her, the loss of her mother was very close. But something in my words, something in my gaze, I don't know, and something happened in that moment. That was a transformational moment. And something broke in that space. And from that moment on, the woman started to recognize my existence and speak to me. But then, if you fast forward on a little bit, a few years, and I haven't got time to go into the detail, but last year, and so over the time, we just kept feeding and sowing into that space. That's why I believe evangelism is a process. So this lady came to TFC one Sunday morning. And then after that, she said to me, "Do you bless houses?" And I thought, I feel very positive today, so I feel like saying yes. So I said, "Yes, we bless houses." And she said, "I am buying my mother's house in Crumlin. And would you come and bless my house, please?" And I said, "I would be counted a privilege to bless your home." So we sealed the deal, and then I went home and I thought, what have I agreed to? I have no notion what blessing it. So to cut a long story short, she invited 15 of her neighbors and close family into a room, and I did the service. I spoke on Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and spoke about God moving in certain locations and God's spirit being able to work, and just did a whole thing there. But I didn't try to overstep the space. I didn't try to take advantage of the window. I felt that I needed to be guarded and guided and boundaried in that. So I just slid across, we prayed, we did a few things in the house, and we did that service. And here's what I want to say, because I feel that these are all related, although I couldn't have seen it at the time. So I felt that I stayed within a respectful space before God and before man. And so I didn't try to lock the door and say, unless you get saved. I shared about Jesus being the only way, but I didn't make an appeal. I shared that. So just after that, this lady, who's the manager of the center where we rent, came to me and said, "You know that with all the staff in this center, and there's about 25 people working there," she said, "their lives are absolutely in a mess. And they are coming to me all the time and saying, we are cursed. My house was broken into. One woman, her son was murdered. Two women have had their sons murdered over drugs and crime." And so she said, "The staff are saying to me, could you bless them?" And I said, "Well, yes." I feel like saying yes. And so what we're doing now, and I'm going to ask you to pray for this, because I've never done this before, but I feel that God is giving us favor. She is going to clear a Friday afternoon, the last Friday in November, and she will get in extra staff to cover base, and all the staff will be given a couple of hours off in the afternoon to come up to the conference room so that we can bless them and break the cycle of despair and disaster that seems to dog their footsteps. And my sense is in my spirit that by holding the space in blessing the house, it has created a favor where she will be there again, this woman, and I will have all the staff who are in the center, who, by the way, they've all been witnessed to at different levels over the years we've been there. And, you know, when we're doing food, we give them cakes, we give them pizza, we give them coffee, we just bless them every time we get the chance. That's our DNA. We just want to bless people. But here now is an opportunity, an evangelistic opportunity, a spiritual breakthrough opportunity, a dynamic possibility that maybe God might turn up in a wonderful way. And some of these people who are living against a dark horizon may see some light, may experience some level of hopefulness that might translate into faith in the Son of God. And so we love what we do, the work that we're doing. It's not in an easy place. It's not necessarily in a safe place, but it's in a place where God has called us to be. And I want to say to you tonight, before we enter into the Word of God, that the Christian life has always, and from the very outset, been intended to be an adventure. God doesn't save you to put you on the mantelpiece as a trophy of grace, although I understand the metaphor. God has called you into the kingdom for such a time as this. And you can look at your family system and think, oh, woe is me. Or you can look at your family system and say, what a great opportunity this is to see the power of God demonstrated in this motley crew of people, this family system that I was born into, whose emblem should be more the pirate's flag than the flag of Ulster, or whatever the family emblem is. And so I want to talk about blessing. And so it's a word that's used a lot in the Catholic Church. So people come and this lady said, will you bless my house? It's a kind of, it rolls off the tongue. And then all the staff are saying, would the church bless us? And so it has got me thinking around this whole thing of blessing. And we are meant to be a blessing in our world. So please pray for us. And maybe I might be able to send you a little bit of detail on that. I think it's the 25th of November that we're kind of... And so the first thing that I did was I thought, who could I get in to do the blessing? And I rang somebody who has a great testimony and a great gift and ministry. And I tried to offer them a few times and they just can't do any of the dates in November. And these people want November. And I went and prayed about it and I felt the Lord saying, why are you passing the book? You know, so there you go. No pressure. But please pray for us in that. If you have your Bible handy, let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And whatever way we might get through the Word of God tonight, the thing is that there's a couple of things I feel I need to say. So I'll definitely try and get them off my chest. And we'll see how we go with the scriptures. Let me just read you a little bit of a story that I came across, which intrigued me regarding Albert Einstein. Many of you will know certain details about his life. He flew Hitler's Germany in the late 1930s, and he was given refuge in the United States of America. And when he went over to the States, he was able to acquire an old two-story house on a tree-lined street within walking distance of Princeton University. The world's foremost mathematician entertained at that house some of the most distinguished scientific and political people in that generation. He discussed with his noted guest the issues which intrigued his mind, from physics to religion to justice and human rights, and many of the great ideas which have shaped our world were conceived behind the green shutters of that modest little house. But Albert Einstein, in spite of having all these famous and celebrity politicians and thinkers visiting his home, he also had another frequent visitor to his house. This person was not a physicist or a world leader. In actual fact, it was a 10-year-old girl named Emmy. And Emmy heard that a very kind and brainy man who knew a lot about mathematics had moved into her neighborhood. So since she was having difficulty in school doing her sums, and our algebra and our fifth grade arithmetic, she decided to visit the man down the block and see if he would help her with our problems. So week by week, she would call into Albert Einstein's house, and he would sit her down and be very willing to explain and unpack the mathematical problems that this little girl was facing. And he told her that she was welcome anytime to come and knock on his door. Some weeks after this had been happening, it came to her mother's attention that Emmy had the audacity to be going down to this fantastic man, this brain on legs, Albert Einstein. And she was, you know, a little bit embarrassed about that. And so she decided to, having spoken to her daughter and realized that the girl was going in a number of times during the week to have help with her mathematics, that she decided, the mother decided to go down to Albert Einstein's house. She knocked on the door. When he answered the door, she was a little bit flustered, but explained her situation. And she said, "Look, I am really, really sorry that my daughter is bothering you and taking up your time by knocking on your door at all different times during the week and bringing her problems to you." And Albert Einstein answered in this vein. He said, "Bothering me? Not at all. When a child finds such joy in learning, then it is my joy to help her to learn. Please don't stop Emmy from coming to me with her school problems, for I want you to know she is welcome in my house anytime." I'm really glad you came tonight. And I don't know whether you realize that God says you are welcome in my house anytime. And it could be tonight that you're facing a problem. It might be a mathematical one. But you know, we face problems. Some we can get our heads around, and some we can get our hearts around, and some we can get our hands around and actually solve them. But there are some problems that are beyond the radius of our human capacity. And Peter said of old, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We have no one else to go to but you." And God says, "You're welcome in my house anytime." And the church to me should be a place where we can bring our problems to someone who knows not just all about mathematics. He knows about our hearts. He knows about those emotional spaces inside of us. He knows about our intellectual contradictions, our mental struggle. He knows about the emotional turbulence that lies beneath the surface of and the veneer of our everyday lives. And he's a God who can help us in our time of need. So let's just read about this guy in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Did I give you that? 1 Chronicles chapter 4. It's only two verses. And it says, "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez and said, 'I gave birth to him in pain.'" It's an unusual name, that, isn't it? Jabez means pain. I wonder what they called him for short. Jab? But anyway, "Jabez called out to the God of Israel, 'If only you would bless me, extend my border, let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will not cause any pain.' And God granted his request." We looked last night, as I say, about the whole cycle of blessing that has been woven into the fabric of the created order. And we see then in Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he came packaged in blessing. He was the blessing of God to the world. He said, "I haven't come to condemn the world. I've come to save the world." If you're all right tonight, you know, nobody can help you. Jesus said, "I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." God loves to draw near broken people, bewildered people, battered people, bruised people, people who have problems. And if you don't have a problem tonight, I need to ask you to leave the building because you're in danger of getting a few with this audience. I can see from looking around this room, there are some problems in this house and I wouldn't like you to be harmed. It's not safe for you to remain here if you are problem free. But if you have a few problems, hang in there and we'll see what might happen. But Jabez was an ordinary man. No, he was worse than an ordinary man. He started out at a greater disadvantage than the rest of his family. He was labelled, compartmentalised, designated and given a name within his family system. We don't know how deeply that may have impacted upon him or how it may have affected his outlook on the world, but certainly with what we understand now in our modern age and the research that's around us, we are shaped by our environment. And we are all, to an extent, born into dysfunctional families who visit their dysfunctionality upon each child that comes into the home in different ways. It's not intentional, it's not nasty, it's just the way the fallen world is. And Jabez started out, it seems to me, at a greater disadvantage than the rest of his family. But when his story was told, he ended up being blessed beyond his family line. And I want to say to you tonight, you know, it's possible for you to get a blessing from God. No matter what your start in life has been, no matter what the struggle in life that has entered into the equation of your journey, there's a God in heaven who knows where you are right now. And not only that, he knows how you are right now. So let's unpack this a little bit here. And three things about Jabez. He prayed, first of all, for an encounter in his life. That's how I would frame it. He said, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me." Now the word blessing means to bow towards, to kiss towards, to prostrate towards. But there are different shades of meaning in the concept of blessing. I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and one of the things that we did was Holy Communion and confirmation and all that. So I used to have to go to confession. One of the things that when you went to confession, you went into a little dark box, and it was completely blackness. You couldn't see your nose in front of you or your finger in front of you. And then a grill slid across and there was someone the other side of the grill, which was the parish priest. And your opening line was, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 3 weeks since my last confession, Father. And in that time, I have murdered 11 people, robbed 3 banks." And you proceeded to give all those sensational sins you were committing. And then the priest would bless you and give you a few Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And you went out blessed. And that was the idea anyway. And then whenever you were traveling past the church building, which was God's house, you had to bless yourself. Imagine that. We were told. How lazy is that? The clergy, bless yourself. Yeah. So we were taught to bless ourselves in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's how you would do that, you know. You would bless yourself. And that was the ritual that I was brought up with and the understanding that I had of blessing. And so sometimes we heard it this morning, if somebody sneezes, somebody might say, "God bless you." Or we might put at the end of an email, "God bless you." Do we ever stop and think about, what are we saying? What does it mean anyway? Does it mean anything? Does it change anything? Well, this man said, "Oh God, that you would bless me." And without being too scientific, I think he got to a point in his life where he realized he was not living in blessing. He did not have the blessing of God. And you might think that's a negative truth, but I think that's a wonderful truth. If you could come to the realization, remember the prodigal son, he came to himself and realized, "I am not being blessed doing this." And you know, in my life, I was brought up and in a good way, I was president of a chapter in the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. I try and write that on an envelope, it goes off the edge. And yeah, I was lost. I was not blessed. I was doing accountancy and management. I wore a suit to work. And I was not blessed. And I went to see a priest, Father McElroy, the priest that taught me. And I said, I don't know what's wrong with my life. I am empty. I am dark. I don't want to live. I don't know what's wrong with me. And he said, when is the last time you had confession? I said, please don't say that. I've been there and done that. But I am not blessed. How do I get? I don't know what's wrong with my life, but how do I sort it? He didn't know what I was talking about. And it was shortly after that I met some Jesus people, hippies. They told me Jesus was the blessing of God. But my life wasn't blessed. And this man prayed for a blessing. And one of the shades of meaning of blessing is that you put the spotlight on somebody. They are put in the spotlight. And so this man has been living in the margins, living in the shadows, living anonymously, living as a nobody, living without purpose, without direction, without meaning in his life. And he says, oh God, that you would bless me. And as I say, that's one of the shade of meanings of the concept of blessing. It's turning. When we bless God, we put the spotlight on God. And we say, there he is. Hallelujah. We love you. We bless you. That's bless the Lord, O my soul. But blessing is a word that can be used in a number of levels. And, you know, God blesses us. He puts us in the spotlight. That's what it means. He turns a light on your life. And his warmth, his radiance, his blessing begins to flow into your soul. And this man was living without the blessing of God. And he asked God to bless him. And in that space, I believe, that became for him a place of encounter. That really means that God finds you. That really means that God meets with you. That really means that God touches you. And I want to say this evening that I don't believe that the gospel is about some kind of prayer formula. Although I believe in prayer, and I believe in the sinner's prayer, and I believe in calling on the name of the Lord. But I don't think it can be reduced to some kind of theological, orthodox utterance of language. I believe that coming into the blessing of God for your life and mine is about encounter. And years ago, I had an encounter with Jesus Christ when I prayed the sinner's prayer. And when I left that building, I had to go upstairs on the bus. I was so elated. Isn't it funny how we are as people? You know, without being saved, we like to sit at the back of the church, the top of the bus, because we want to be the center of attention. But the thing is, for me, when I came to Christ, I was lifted, and it was an encounter with God. Mal Pope has a song, and it reads like this, or sings like this. Oh, won't you mend these broken sails and set your light up high so that this shipwreck of a life can find a harbor by your side. If you still want me, if you still want me. And in that song, he says, Lord, set your light up high, because that's where the blessing is. It's the light of God. When the priest was to bless in Israel, the people, it was, the light of his countenance shine upon you. And blessing is about God turning the light on your life. And that means an encounter with God. The Apostle Paul got blessed on the Damascus Road because he saw a blinding light, and God put the spotlight on his life, and he got saved. Now, the thing was, he was blind after it. Now, we haven't got time to unpack that, but the light saved him. God put the spotlight on this man. It was an enemy of the gospel, and he was blessed with salvation. Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me. When I was younger, and in my teens, like most teenagers, I was kind of doing all the stuff that was out there and gone for hours, staying out late into the small hours of the morning. And it caused rows and arguments and fights in our house. And so if I came back late at night, I used to have to throw a pebble at the window to see if one of my brothers would creep down and let me in before my father would wake up. Because if he woke up, I tell you, it'd be A&E. But there was war in the house about staying out later than what you should. And so when I got back to my house and it was in darkness, my heart used to beat so much faster, because I knew that once the lights were gone, there was no blessing knocking on that door. But then there were other times when there was a legitimate event on, and my mother used to say, "I'll leave the light on for you." Anybody experienced that? "I'll leave the light on for you." And so when I was coming home late, legitimately late, so to speak, I'd come up the road to my house and the light was on. And you know something? It was such an affirming experience, knowing I could walk up that door and my life would be spared. Knowing that I could walk into that house and I didn't have to look over my shoulder or duck and dive, because the light was left on. And that's what Mal Pope is saying. Is there a light on for me? That's a sign of acceptance. It's a sign of welcome. It's a sign that you can come in. And Jabez prayed a prayer. "Oh, that you would bless me. Lord, I need some light in my life at the moment. Not human light. Not fabricated light. I need your light." This was no, "bless me," or "God bless you there, Jabez. You had a little snuffly nose. God bless you." No, this was something deeper than that. "Oh, that you would bless me." And I want to say to you tonight, Jesus Christ carries the blessing of God in this house for all the children of men. And one of the greatest blessings you can have is to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit of God, to have your sins forgiven. And that starts a whole sequence then of one blessing after another. But the first blessing is to get right with God. And God wants to put your heart right and put you in good standing so that your life can be restored and renewed and repaired. And Jabez was going down a bad road. And maybe even the people around him had cursed him with the name that he was given. But he found a way to be lifted out of that space of condemnation or curtailment and restriction and contamination in his life by praying a prayer, "Oh, that you would bless me." He prayed for an encounter, and it says the Lord blessed him. The Lord granted his request. And somehow in that moment of crying out to God, God turned the light on in his life. Hallelujah. And God answered his prayer. And, you know, you could be rich tonight. You could have a good job. You might have a fine home. But you know whether you're not blessed or whether you are blessed or not, don't you? And life is not about the abundance of our possessions. It starts in the heart. It starts on the inside. And all the wealth in the world cannot remove the misery of sin from your soul. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. And so Jabez prayed for an encounter. "Oh, that you would bless me." He prayed also for an expansion in his life. He said that you would extend my borders. We lived in the west of Ireland for 11 and a half years. And while we were out there, we learned a little bit about farming, because I am a city boy and two of our kids were born in Castlebar, County Mayo. And we learned a lot. It was a great time, wonderful, in rural Ireland. It'll always be logged in my heart with many sparkling moments and memories. And one thing that I remember at that time, when we used to evangelize and visit and so on, and Pastor Billy Mullen would be familiar with the west of Ireland, and out Carraholly, out that direction. Do you remember that place? And I was out in Carraholly with Paddy Morden one time, and he said, "I want you to visit a kind of a distant relative of his further down from Carraholly," which was, about 5 miles from Westport, and right on the westernmost part of Mayo in the west of Ireland, straight across, almost straight across from Dublin. And we drove down to this lady's house, this elderly woman who was about 84 years of age. And the funny thing is, her name was Baby Moran. So I was introduced to this woman, 84 years of age. How are you, baby? How are you today? And so this lady was telling us about her story and her life. And here's the thing. In all her 84 years on the planet, this woman had never in her life gone beyond the town of Castlebar, which was probably at the most 20 miles away. I had to get her to repeat it. Now, you actually, there'd be a market in Castlebar, one in Newport, one in Westport, but where she lived, she had never in 84 years gone beyond Castlebar. And I thought, wow, that's incredible that the radius of the country in which she lived her life was really a 20-mile radius for 84 years. And, okay, you can look at it different ways, but one of the perspectives that I just want to land in at the moment is that the whole of Ireland lay before her, and she lived within 20 miles of her front door. And I wonder how many churches and how many Christians have not prayed in a long time, extend my borders. I want to push out beyond the radius of what is comfortable for me. If perhaps by my pushing out beyond my borders, something of the grace of God and the Word of God would touch people that otherwise would never have touched them. Amen. So when we think about our churches, look at all the potential in this room tonight. All the potential that lurks and lies within every heart. All the talents that are in this room. And you know, you could live your Christian life within a 20-mile radius. I'm not talking about geography here. I'm talking about by staying with what is familiar and using familiarity as a tool not to do anything different, to resist change, to forbid any amendments, adjustments, or adaptations that might push out the witness and the work and the ministry of what God might do. Surely this is God's house. If God wants to put a conservatory on the side, surely he should be allowed to. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. It's true though, isn't it? Whose house is it? It's God's house. And if you're uncomfortable with a conservatory, here's the deal. You don't have to go in there. But somebody else might want to. And so I find in the church is rich with potential. We sell ourselves short. We have a message and a ministry that can make such a difference to Ballymoney, to County Antrim. Hallelujah. It's true though. And we sometimes suffer with low self-esteem, and yet we are the adopted children of God. We're part of the royal family. We are kings and queens. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that are bought not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just say to you, just slide that across to you right now. You know, dream. Let the Holy Spirit plant a dream in your heart of new possibilities for this church. I wonder what this church could look like in 5 years' time. What outbreak, what breakout could happen with the personnel, the people, and the potential that lies within these walls. You see, the devil is the author of nightmares. I think there was a movie, Nightmare on Elam Street, was it? Sorry about that. I think I missed out on something. But the devil is the author of nightmares. But God is the author of dreams. When is the last time you had a dream? I dreamed a dream in days gone by. Dream. Jabez began to dream of the possibility of living bigger than the confines that were placed around him by other people or by the opinions of others. He said, God, will you extend my borders? I don't have much chance here on my own, but will you? I'm dreaming of a bigger space. I'm dreaming of living in a greater atmosphere, a greater expanse. Is it possible that God could bring you into a greater expanse? I think I'm speaking to some people, and your journey has been a narrowing. And you have allowed the devil to feed you lies that because of your mistakes, because of your weaknesses, because of turns in the road, that your horizon has tapered. And so instead of seeing a broad canvas, you see a narrow one. Because you're thinking about it with your human mind and imagining that God conforms to the mathematics of man. When we discover in the Word of God that it's never too late to make a fresh start. Moses was 80 when God said, I think I have a job for you. Just a little job. I want you to be in charge of a creche. And I want you to transport 3 million whinging, wailing children across the wilderness. It won't be Disneyland or Disney World. They'll be muttering and moaning and crying and complaining. That's why they were called the children of Israel. A wailing, weeping mass of moaners and groaners. And God said, I want you to be the first Montessori school in the Bible, the first creche in Scripture. And bring the whole 3 million of them across out of the nursery in Egypt and across into the promised land. It's never too late. It says in Psalm 51 and verse 10 in the Message, oh God, please create a Genesis week out of the chaos of my life. I think that's a profound statement. That the God of Genesis is the God of Jesus Christ. He is the God of our salvation. And your life may be utter chaos. You may have made a dog's dinner of your potential and messed up in every conceivable way. And yet there's a God in heaven, a God in this house, a Savior in this house, who by the Holy Spirit can brood over your life and do a Genesis moment in your heart and make something out of your nothing. Hallelujah. And speak into your darkness and bring light. And so Jabez, something happened to him. He decided he wasn't going to stay the way he was. He wasn't going to stagnate. He wasn't going to marinate in bitterness. He wasn't going to allow his life to be marginalized. He wasn't going to allow people to put a label on him that would stick. He was going to find a different label. He was going to find a different way. Not in his own strength, but he looked up. He looked around and saw nothing, but he looked up and found in that space a prayer he could pray where God answered his prayer. And if God can answer Jabez's prayer, he can answer yours and he can answer mine. And in your mess, there is a message. And Jesus Christ can rescue you and save you. He prayed for an expansion of his life. And do not live in the 6x4 cell of your mind that Satan would seek to plant you. I wonder tonight, what are the opportunities that God would like to open up before you? You say you have no opportunities. God says you have. You might say, I have no capabilities. God says you have. He's given everybody. What is it God might want to expand for you, where you are looking and listening to the voices around you and hearing and seeing on a human level restriction when God says, I am the God who can extend your borders. Hallelujah. I don't care how. My time, honestly, I'm terrible. You have to shoot me to stop me, all right? we were down in a church down in the country, and a church leader said to me, there can never be an Elam church in this place because people just don't want Elam and they don't want a church. And I thought, that's the best thing I've ever heard, because you know what? That just makes me more mad. There will be an Elam church. So we have an Elam church there today. And they said, you will never get a building. Nobody will sell. We have a building there today. And that's the truth. Because God, if God says, you know, man might say, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. But if God says it, you have opportunities and your borders can be expanded. And then finally, he prayed for an experience of God. You see, you can have an encounter of God. You can have an expansion of your possibilities. But we also need to have the experience of God as well. He realized that bitterness had visited his life, not just in the designation that had been laid upon him in terms of his birth name. But it's so easy, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is so not true. That what is insinuated into our soul by the negativity of words, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Jabez came to a crisis moment in his life, I believe, where he could have succumbed to the designation of his name. He is a pain in the face. And maybe he could have reached that moment and thought, okay, I am a pain. Therefore, I will be a pain. But something happened for him. And he entered a new experience that went contrary to the flow of his life. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to live with regret. You don't have to live with disillusionment. How many people today are living under a cloud of despair, against a dark horizon, against depression, discouragement, and disillusionment? When this man prayed and said, God, I want a new experience in life. I don't want to be someone who harms others. I want to be someone who heals. Let me do no harm. When people encounter me, because I've encountered you, let something of the healing, of the blessing, of the joy, of the peace, of the love of God emanate and translate from my life into the radius and circle of their lives. Hallelujah. And so we prayed for an experience. I love the experience of the Christian life. I love it. And it's not just theology that we believe Jesus took away our sins. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation. I have a smile on my face, not because I've money in the bank. I have a smile on my face because God is able to give you an experience of life. Those who come to him find life, not misery and mediocrity and moaning and complaint, but something transformational happens. And so in the package of Jabez looking up and asking God to interface and intersect with his life, the man ended up with a spotlight of blessing, an encounter with the living God. And he became more honorable than his brothers. He ended up with an expansion of his territory, his horizon, his opportunities, and his journey. And he ended up with an expression and an experience of his life that changed the trajectory upon which he was, and changed the effect that his life had. So it's never too late to make a fresh start. And so this evening, you know, you can come in and you can go out. And as we just draw this to a close, you know, I don't know how successful you've been in life. You may be a great school teacher, you might be a great foreman, you might be a great business person, but that's not really blessing. The real blessing in life is to encounter the one who made you and to come into some realization for the purpose for which you were born. And without meeting Jesus Christ, we can never find life's true purpose or experience life's greatest blessing. It's only in Christ that we discover who we are and what we were meant to be. And we're going to bow our heads in a moment, but I want to ask you, where do you stand? Because literally speaking tonight, you're either in blessing or you're in cursing, because in Jesus Christ, all the blessings of God are held, the spiritual blessings of God, which lead to all other blessings. And without Christ, we can never be truly blessed. But it's only in Christ we can be blessed and saved and then go on to become a blessing to others. And how are you doing in terms of your life? Have you settled? for something less when God has more for you? Ask him to expand your boundaries. And how are you living now with all you know about Christianity and the world? Is your heart still soft? Is there life springing forth from your well? Are you expressing life and goodness and grace because of God?
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. Give me faith to trust what you